Hoc est simplicissimus. Os Ercadio, buen dia, sed homo iste statum quartum materiae invenit. Father Nicanor raised his hands, and the four legs of the chair all landed on the ground at the same time. Nego, he said, factum hoc existentiam Dei probat sine dubio. Thus it was discovered that José Arcadio Buendía's devilish jargon was Latin. Father Nicanor took advantage of the circumstance of his being the only person who had been able to communicate with him to try to inject the faith into his twisted mind. Every afternoon he would sit by the chestnut tree preaching in Latin, but José Arcadio Buendía insisted on rejecting rhetorical tricks and the transmutation of chocolate, and he demanded the daguerreotype of God as the only proof. Father Nicanor then brought him medals and pictures, and even a reproduction of the Veronica. But José Arcadio Buendía rejected them as artistic objects without any scientific basis. He was so stubborn that Father Nicanor gave up his attempts at evangelization and continued visiting him out of humanitarian feelings. But then it was José Arcadio Buendía who took the lead and tried to break down the priest's faith with rationalist tricks. On a certain occasion, when Father Nicanor brought a checker set to the chestnut tree and invited him to a game, José Arcadio Buendía would not accept, because according to him, he could never understand the sense of a contest in which the two adversaries have agreed upon the rules. Father Nicanor, who had never seen checkers played that way, could not play it again. Ever more startled at José Arcadio Buendía's lucidity, he asked him how it was possible that they had tied him to a tree. Hoc est simplicissimus, he replied, because I'm crazy. From then on, concerned about his own faith, the priest did not come back to visit him and dedicated himself to hurrying along the building of the church. Rebecca felt her hopes being reborn. Her future was predicated on the completion of the work, for one Sunday when Father Nicanor was lunching at the house and the whole family sitting at the table spoke of the solemnity and splendor that religious ceremonies would acquire when the church was built, Amaranta said, "The luckiest one will be Rebecca." And since Rebecca did not understand what she meant, she explained it to her with an innocent smile. "You're going to be the one who will inaugurate the church with your wedding." Rebecca tried to forestall any comments. The way the construction was going, the church would not be built before another 10 years. Father Nicanor did not agree. The growing generosity of the faithful permitted him to make more optimistic calculations. To the mute indignation of Rebecca, who could not finish her lunch, Ursula celebrated Amaranta's idea and contributed a considerable sum for the work to move faster. Father Nicanor felt that with another contribution like that, the church would be ready within 3 years. From then on, Rebecca did not say another word to Amaranta, convinced that her initiative had not the innocence that she attempted to give it. "That was the least serious thing I could have done," Amaranta answered her during the violent argument they had that night. "In that way, I won't have to kill you for 3 years." Rebecca accepted the challenge. When Pietro Crespi found out about the new postponement, he went through a crisis of disappointment, but Rebecca gave him a final proof of her loyalty. "We'll elope whenever you say," she told him. Pietro Crespi, however, was not a man of adventure. He lacked the impulsive character of his fiancée, and he considered respect for one's given word as a wealth that should not be squandered. Then Rebecca turned to more audacious methods. A mysterious wind blew out the lamps in the parlor, and Ursula surprised the lovers kissing in the dark. Pietro Crespi gave her some confused explanations about the poor quality of modern pitch lamps, and he even helped her install a more secure system of illumination for the room. But the fuel failed again, or the wicks became clogged, and Ursula found Rebecca sitting on her fiancé's lap. This time she would accept no explanation. She turned the responsibility of the bakery over to the Indian woman and sat in a rocking chair to watch over the young people during the visits, ready to win out over maneuvers that had already been old when she was a girl.